Today we hear in our Old Testament reading from Genesis the story of Joseph's brothers plotting to get rid of him because, well, he had that special place in Dad's heart. He seemed to be Israel's favorite, and this was more than the others could stomach. Either they would throw him out or they would throw up, but deal with that Joseph they had to do. And this brings to mind a wonderful quote from Peter Kreeft, the very well-respected Catholic philosopher and theologian who teaches at Boston College. And in talking about the Joseph narrative, Peter Kreeft muses, "If one Egyptian tailor hadn't cheated on the threads of Joseph's mantle, Potiphar's wife would never have been able to tear it and present it as evidence to Potiphar that Joseph attacked her, got him thrown into prison, and let him be in a position to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Win his confidence, advise him to store up 7 years of grain and save his family, the 70 original Jews from whom Jesus came. We owe our salvation to a cheap Egyptian tailor." Because what Kreeft is doing there, he's going on to tell the whole of the Genesis narrative. And the point that Kreeft makes and that I want to make today is that we live in a world that is governed by God's providence. Things that from a purely human perspective just seem to be the outworking of our daily lives are the means by which God is doing his work. I love this definition of providence taken from the Catholic Encyclopedia. It's a little dense, but worth reflecting on. God's providence is the act by which, in his wisdom, he so orders all events within the universe. So God's wisdom orders all of the events in the universe. That's the first dimension of providence. But what's it for? That the end for which everything has been created may be realized. That every part of creation has a purpose within God's larger plan, and that plan will be realized. That end is that all creatures should manifest the glory of God. All creatures manifesting God's glory. But listen to the next part. "And in particular, that men and women should glorify him." And then it will go on to tell us how we glorify God. "By recognizing in nature the work of his hand." One of my favorite places to go in the mountains is Paradise Valley. I don't get to go there very often in the wintertime. But you go down into the valley and you're surrounded by the majestic Rocky Mountains. And you go over this bridge, and under the bridge you hear the water running under the ice. Talk about a place where we see God's hand in nature. And my beloved friends, we live in a part of the world that is unique. Do you appreciate the Rockies for what they really are, or have you come to take them for granted? People come from all over the world to this part of the world. And so we are so fortunate that, as this says here, we can recognize the work of God in nature. But then he goes on to say in this definition, serving him in obedience and love, and thereby attaining the full development of our nature, which is eternal happiness with God. Isn't that beautiful? That we are to look at God in nature and be inspired. We are to look at God as he has revealed himself in his word and through his church. And we are to live our lives fully developing our nature so as to share eternal happiness with God. That's what providence means. And the wonderful thing about this reading from Genesis, and if you read through the rest of Genesis, is this is one of the most dysfunctional families in the world. Your family is not as dysfunctional as Joseph's family. Well, maybe not quite as much. But that's the beautiful thing about the text. The people are losers. But God uses these people in such a way that when we get to Genesis chapter 50 at verse 20, when Joseph has now become the prime minister of Egypt and his brothers have now returned to Egypt in order to acquire grain. Listen to this beautiful verse, one of my favorite verses in the whole of the Bible. Even though you, my brothers, intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. You intended to harm me, but God intended this for my good. Now check out this connection. Joseph, loved by his father. Jesus Christ, loved by his father. Joseph, handed over to slave traders by those closest to him. Jesus Christ, handed over to Pontius Pilate by those closest to him. Joseph, who had his garment torn from him. Jesus Christ, who had his garment torn from him. Joseph, who was thrown down into a tomb. Jesus Christ, who was placed in the tomb. Joseph, who is delivered from that tomb, sold into slavery. Jesus, who is delivered from the tomb of death. Joseph, who then rules over Egypt. Jesus Christ, who rules over the universe. You get the providence of God? And here's the last point that I'll make in this homily. Jesus said in today's gospel that the kingdom will be taken from you and given to a people who are bearing fruit. In the year 70 AD, the Jerusalem temple was destroyed. Never again was sacrifice going to be offered in that temple. And there won't be another temple built. Because do you know what's there now? The Dome of the Rock, the third most significant holy site in Islam. Jesus prophesied in today's gospel that the sacrificial system of Judaism would come to an end because the sacrifice that would occur now happens here and has been doing so for 2,000 years. Each and every day, the clearest example of the providence of God is that when you come to eat Jesus and drink his blood. That's what today's gospel is all about. So be of good heart, beloved friends. I know your lives are messy because my life is messy. And at times we wonder, what in the heck is going on in a world like this? But may we be a people who understand that in everything that is happening, God's providential hand is at work. Because he wants you and me to recognize his hand in nature, to serve him in obedience and love, and thereby attain the so development of our nature that one day we are going to share eternal happiness with God. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ.